Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, all right, Sports City. So we're back here in front of this grill. I got this thing all fixed up, man. I mean, literally, the bed of the charcoal couldn't be set any better. The lighter fluid is all here. We got a lot of stuff to throw in this grill, a lot of beef, a lot of chicken. Y'all already know, man, we got a lot to deal with here in this kitchen, man. I'm feeling some type of way, but I love the slogan, man. I love the slogan. I have to be here. Some people choose to be here. I hope that they get here because we got a lot smoking here at the cookout. I took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive.
What a thought. I'd be caught in this life, let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. Con Edison flaunt connected to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run a town, I don't do too much jogging. The summer's off, the winter too. Top down in the winter, that's what winners do. And to these niggas, I'm like Windows 7. You let them tell it, they swear, if they invented you. And since no good deed go unpunished, I'm not as cool with niggas as I once was. I once was cool as the funds was. But these bright lights turned me to a monster. Sorry, mama, I promise you wouldn't kill me, but I would've went insane had I remained the same me. Fuck me, bitch, it's true. All I got is this money.
Who would've thought I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait.
The call-in number is 917-889-9592. Man, y'all got a lot of time locked in this kitchen with me. I know that. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs. Interesting enough, we had an amazing game 5 last night. We have that and more to throw around the kitchen. I even have some news that isn't new news. Well, it's new news, but we'll get to it, man. We'll get to it. Calling in from the DMV out of the Virginia region of that metro area, we have Tommy B in the building. Welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm okay. I got a severe headache and I'm tired. But I'm here because I have to be here.
Oh, I got to get him up. I got to wake him up. I got to do something, man. Like I said, man, people have to be here. Some people choose to be here. But hey, I'm not even going to pick no battles, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot to jump into, man. And to me, I think there's more than just the NBA Finals to get into. But I think that is the heavy standpoint, if you will. Like I said, I'm jumping all around the sport board. I got a lot of stuff to jump into. A lot of people came to me as of this morning saying, well, do you think it had something to do with Draymond not being there? I think so. I think if Draymond would have hit a bucket or two, he started screaming, he'd have got them guys a little more amped. So we'll see more in game 6. So I give the Warriors a little bit of leeway that they didn't have Draymond on the floor, but the MVP is there in Steph Curry. But the strength is in numbers. Got to stick to the script. Do I save this as meat and potatoes and get into the NBA Finals situation, or do we start right there? Because I have a lot as of today all across the board. But more or less, it's crazy that I have football news. I do have NFL news today, too. I do have somebody calling in. Whoa. Let's get to the call. Let's see what we have here. Calling in via Skype. Welcome to the cookout. What's your name? What's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, what's up? I just wanted to make sure I was here for the fallout.
Okay.
Since that seems to be my reputation on this particular show, that I say things before an event, and then if the event doesn't turn out, then all of a sudden I don't show up. So I just wanted to make sure I was front and center today.
Oh, this is beautiful. Like I'm gonna tell you something, Pat. I am smiling so hard ear to ear to hear your voice at the top. Hold on, I let you talk. Stop. Don't beat up on me, man. Like, can we do this together? I don't want to beat up on each other. Like, I mean, it's gonna happen. Like, I know we're gonna end up swinging it a little bit, but you know, I'm smiling ear to ear, and I don't put this all on you because I'm gonna be honest. I was one sitting here right here and thinking that I don't think Cleveland could go into the Oracle and steal this. So I guess this is where we are starting. I didn't think I would see a call in so early about this. Just to prepare you guys, the football stuff that I had was Joey Bosa sitting out with a contract dispute, him being a rookie. That's why I felt a certain way about it. Him doing this is hilarious to me. Hilarious. So I want y'all to, you know, get your minds roasting on that. And DMC, that's all I'm going to say, and I'm not talking to rap group either. I'm not talking to rap group. Just know I have DMC as a topic here at the cookout. So I guess we started right there where we left off at last night. It got all crazy at the end of the show. And you know what? I kind of felt bad, you know. I don't really want to say, I didn't even feel like I was calling them out, but like, you know, talking against what Pat was, you know, trying to throw out about the Golden State Warriors, in which I really felt like it'd be a hard fought presence for Cleveland to go into Oakland, into the Oracle, and get this thing taken care of. Well, they went in there with a crazy game plan, and literally it was just two. I could literally just point the finger at two guys and getting it done. Being LeBron and Kyrie, both of these guys putting up 41 points apiece. The remainder of that Cleveland Cavaliers team scored 30 points, in which Tristan Thompson scored at least 12 points as well, too. So it's like the remainder of the team put up like 18, and they still got the job done. But there's a lot of different pieces of the situation in this game that I want to get into. I actually have it like player by player base, whether it's Steph, whether it's Kyrie, whether it was Clay, whether it was LeBron, or the impact of Draymond not being there. We're going to go all across the board in this NBA final matchup. Tommy, I'll come to you first. The game out there in Oakland won in a stunning situation. I say stunning. I really want to say blowout because it was more than 15. They did what they needed to do. It was more than 15. But I'll say stunning for now. The Golden State Warriors in a closeout elimination game, they survive another day. Your thoughts on Game 5 won by Cleveland?
I'm happy. I'm glad because we actually had a game that everybody thought was going to happen, the series that way it was going to be. LeBron, somebody had to have heard timeless, Tyrone Powell, Ty, however you want to say it, called him out, and he did exactly what Ty said. He had to attack. I'm saying it now. This is going 7, and I hope it's still the same way as it was last night. Close game, somewhat. I don't want to see it be a blowout. And I'm telling y'all right now, and I know Pat's going to say this, and he's going to say that. I'm going to do it. I'm going to say that. I'm going to tell Sports City and everybody the same thing I texted you last night. I said, I hope Cleveland comes back and wins this. And damn it, I do. So we can hear all the people, all the Golden State fans, all the West Coast fans, bitch and whine how the officials gave the fist everything to them. They got what they wanted. They want LeBron to win one for the land. They wanted this. That's why they suspended Draymond Green. Man, they didn't suspend him for that. It's for what he did. Now, did he do it on purpose? Possibly. I mean, to sit there and, I mean, I can see where Pat said, yeah, he did it on purpose. But to sit, I mean, to sit there and think of that at that moment, and say, oh, well, I'm going to jump over him, and I don't know. I mean, maybe he did, but, I mean, if he did, hey, kudos. Because I'm telling y'all right now, the stuff that I did on the floor and the way we played when I was in school to get people, we knew. We scouted. We knew who we could get to and get them going. Shoot. You do what you can to get an advantage. Don't sit there and say, well, the NBA did this. Because I'm telling you now, the NBA screwed Miami against Toronto just so Cleveland could get there. Because I'm telling you right now, Cleveland wouldn't have played Toronto, they wouldn't be there. Miami would. But, hey, kudos. And Grandpa came out, and he balled out. Kyrie, the old man became a young man and balled out. Hey, that's the best game I've seen from a Duke player in years. Hey, I hope this goes 7. I really do.
Well, last Christmas, if I'm not mistaken, Kyrie went off for 57 up against the Spurs on Christmas, if I'm not mistaken. That game might have took place on another night, but I do remember vividly last year where he gave them 57, and he was going nuts on Tony Parker. But let's be honest, especially me, I'm a Western Conference guy. Tony Parker don't play no defense. He don't play no defense. But for him still to put up 57 points on the Spurs, that's an eyebrow raiser. But there's multiple different ways we could look at this. You also have former referee and Tim Donaghy coming out saying that there's some suspicion around the NBA suspending Draymond Green. It's like, yeah, out of any former or current referee to speak, you are the one to say something about something looking suspicious or fishy. But the way that Cleveland did attack all night long and surviving the storm, and this is another thing that I was actually throwing out there for the past 2 series for Golden State. Attack these dudes. They are 32nd in the league in paint defense. They do not defend that paint well. Kyrie and LeBron were doing what they wanted to in the paint or getting to the rim, whichever one it was. Kyrie was hitting bank shot layups and things of that nature. And then LeBron, oh, my goodness. I didn't care less than Draymond was there. Somebody would have had to defend him. If LeBron builds confidence in his jump shot, this is a different situation. But for some odd reason, I feel like there's a little erraticness when he's shooting the jump shots. But last night, he was shooting clean. Last night, he was shooting clean. But there goes another situation where they are pointing the finger or picking on Steph Curry. They try to hide him as much as possible, but you got to keep the pressure on him both sides of the ball. Whether it's if you guys are on defense, stay in his side, stay in his hip, stay in his stomach. Do not give him that space that he wants to rock you to sleep and knock one of them jumpers down. And if you guys are on the offensive side of the ball, whoever he's defending, I don't care if it's Tristan Thompson, go at him. Go at him. I literally seen Steph Curry was winded. Klay Thompson is the lone ammunition consistently in the past 2 series. I can't even just say this series. In the past 2 series, Klay Thompson has, you know, ramped it up to try and carry and shoulder the load as best he possibly could for Golden State. But I truly think, and I doubt that they were, but I truly think Cleveland was listening to us to continue to attack these guys and don't go shot for shot with these dudes. Just like Pat said, their offense is built for these guys to shoot threes. Even though a lot of people try to throw out that you live by a three, die by a three. I agree with that. But every one of them are ready to shoot. From Harrison Barnes to Andre Iguodala. Iguodala was in Philadelphia. He wasn't knocking down threes to this capacity. Iguodala was a three-point shooter. He is knocking down wide-open shots. But like I said, we're going to go across the board. I got a lot of stuff. I want to talk to individual players within this matchup as well. Pat, your thoughts on the game last night, especially, like I said, this is a stunner to me. Cleveland hanging on to game five, pushing this to at least six games. Did we lose Pat? Pat, are you there?
NBA game. Can you hear me?
It's going in and out. Now I can hear you, though.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
All right. I went to my first NBA game in 1968. Became a fan ever since. And I went on record on this show last week. And I said, if this series goes beyond five games, the NBA would lose me as a fan. In terms of the integrity of the sport, everybody wanted to see this matchup. Everybody waited all year for this matchup. Everybody wanted both teams to come in healthy. And everybody wanted to see a seven-game series. Now, you got to be careful what you ask for, because the NBA is the only sport I know where a referee can make a call and they can go to instant replay and review the call and adjust the call that's made. And then the league can come in the next day and re-review the review and make a whole brand new call that doesn't affect the outcome of the previous game, but can affect the outcome of the next game. I have never seen that in any sport in my life. Now, I'm not going to sit here and get into the whole thing about whether or not Draymond Green should have been suspended. Because I guarantee you, if he wasn't hanging by a wire with the point system and all that, this whole thing would be moot. It would be a moot point. At most, there would have been a technical call foul, and that would have been it. But for me, the whole league just lost a whole lot of juice in terms of their integrity regarding the sport. Because what people are not realizing is now the league has stepped in and they have altered the course of a series, which means that they can alter the outcome, regardless of what the referees do. So this doesn't include the ref that we had that got kicked out the league because he wasn't necessarily betting on the games himself, but he was making calls so that it gave whoever a better opportunity to achieve whatever the betting goal was. It's gone way beyond that. Cleveland is a two-man team, which was evident last night. Two-man team. Are we actually going to have an NBA champion that's a two-man team? I guarantee you, you can line up every team that has lost an NBA final. Everyone. And Cleveland is not as good as one of them. As a team, not as good as one. So I'm over the Draymond thing. I'm over the series. I've lived a blessed life in terms of sports. I've got a chance to know and see some of the greatest players to ever play the game. And basically, that's what I'm going to have to live with. To me, this series is a complete and utter sham. And for those who are railing on Kyrie Irving, who was that? Mike Wilbon railed on him in game four. Well, Kyrie did the same thing in game five. The only difference was his shot was falling. He didn't do anything different. He was just on. LeBron did the only thing logically he should have been doing the whole time. The only amazing part about it was that everything went right for both of them at the same time. I'm not amazed by what they did. Man, this is the NBA. Hell, Damon Lillard dropped 51 on the Warriors. Come on. And he's not even mentioned in the same breath. So for a guy to get hot and everything to start falling, that's not unusual. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. He had his game going. LeBron had his game going. And to Tommy's point, the whole point in the whole Draymond incident was to push the series to 7 games. So you don't have to hope. See, I can see the script. It's going 7. You don't have to hope. It's going to go 7. The Warriors won on their floor last year. They're not winning on their floor 2 years in a row. That's not going to happen. This is what the people wanted. This is what the league made sure was going to happen. So I'm going to have to live off of my 70s Lakers, my 80s Lakers, those great 80s Boston teams, those great 80s Philly teams. I'm going to have to live in the past. Those great Houston teams, those great Bull teams, those great Detroit teams, and those great San Antonio teams. Because to me, what we're watching now, they're not even letting the teams decide it on the floor. It's politics, and it's where the money's at. And a lot of people say, well, yeah, it's always been that way. However, other sports have a way of maintaining a certain level of integrity in the midst of the controversy. In football, you know, you can argue over a call. And that's just human nature. There's always going to be bad calls, always. And to Tommy's point, Miami was a walking wounded team. Man, they didn't have the 7-footer because he's got the blood clot issues. And then the young center that they had, who's a very excellent defensive player, he was playing on a bad leg. I mean, damn, it's only so much Dwayne Wade can do. And then you got another rookie. He's got to develop, the rookie that they got from Duke. He don't really have a jump shot yet. So he's not even there yet to provide what Wade needed. They were completely undermanned. And then we saw what kind of team Toronto was. Horrible on the road, the whole playoffs, and so-so at home. So with all that being said, now everybody gets to, you know, we get all the hyperbole. Oh, what's going to happen next? And is LeBron going to go off again? And is Kyrie going to go off again? And now Curry's the worst defensive guard in the league. Now we can substantiate the fact that he shouldn't have been unanimous league MVP. Last year was a fluke. Only happened because everybody was hurt for the opposing team. Now we can just sit and stir that whole pot until we're just completely nauseated by it. But me, I'm going to step out of it. Like I said, I'm going to live on the golden age of the NBA because this new age of the NBA is not for me. It's not for me at all. When a league can go and change the direction of a series, you got a serious problem going on in the league. So that's the way I see it. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of the series. Here's my prediction. It will definitely go 7.
It broke up.
And
LeBron,
Cleveland's finally got their money championship for the first time since, when was it, 64, 65, whatever it was. Either it was Jim Brown or it was the Cleveland Indians. I think it was one of the two. I forget. It was either the Browns when they won the world title, or I think the Cleveland Indians. Didn't the Cleveland Indians have Hank Aaron before he went to Atlanta, I believe? I'm not sure, but I think that they did. Okay? So it looks like Cleveland's going to get their first championship. I would be surprised if they don't. The way I see things work out, I would be surprised if Cleveland doesn't win the title.
Hold on. Don't go selling the series away already. Please don't do that already.
It's already sold. It's for me. It's sold. I just told you why. It's sold. You can't. No way, Tyrone. There is no argument that can be presented to me in a logical manner that's going to tell me that this is measuring up to Celtics, Lakers, Pistons, Bulls, okay, Houston Rockets, Celtics back in the day. This is not even close. There's no analyzing that can be done that's going to convince me that this shit is legitimate. None. And yes, they had to play without Draymond Green. That's the way it goes. Every team has to do that. Every team, if he gets injured, if he fouls out, that's just part of the game. Now, when they take the player out, that's something entirely different. That's different. When you take a player out.
Yes, Tommy.
You remember the article I sent you during the OKC and Warriors when they pulled a official? And I told you, and I sent it to you on Facebook, and I believe I sent you in a text message, and I told you, Golden State's winning this series. And I believe it was, what, 3-1?
Oh, for Game 7. No, that was for Game 7. That was for Game 7.
Okay, Game 7. They pulled the official because he was not a Golden State fan. I told Ty right then and there, I said, I'm not watching Game 7. It's a wrap. He goes, oh, don't say that. I said, trust me, it's a wrap. Golden State will win this game.
All right, now I know it's gonna get dicey in here, and I love it because I already could feel the tension, and I'm not even doing this purposely to draw any perspective, even though I know it will end up pulling perspective, but I'm biased in this one. I'm not gonna lie or doing this personal because I feel some type of way. NBA legend, I'm calling him a legend because I loved his game when he was in the league. I'm not gonna lie. Even though he was a rival of the team that went up against him when I was a Sonics fan, he would always give Hersey Hawkins problems, or Ricky Pierce or Nate McMillan, if you want to think of the old Sonics teams. But NBA legend Reggie Miller comes out with a statement and says, if they think what Draymond Green did to LeBron James is worse than what he did to Steven Adams in the Oklahoma City game, the NBA is truly in trouble. Reggie Miller said this. And this is clearly after the Game 4 situation where he basically kicked, Steven Adams in the lower region, and he was able to survive another day, no fine, no nothing, where he clearly, let's be honest, Steven Adams is 7 feet. Draymond is at the rim, basically trying to attempt a bank shot or a layup, whatever he's trying to do. He lost the ball before he attempted to jump up, and he jumps and kicks his leg up and gets Steven Adams on his second time. This is the second time that this happened between the two of them. Between the two of them. They don't sit him. Knowing the importance of Draymond Green out there on the floor. Now, you get a situation, I'm going to be honest here, Sports City, I'm not going to be biased. I'm not going to feel some certain way. I think LeBron's intention was to step over him. I don't think that he wanted to straddle him, but I knew that there was something there that he wanted to try to get over Draymond. And Draymond was getting up at that current time where I don't think LeBron thought that he was going to get up at that time. That's why it ended up being a straddle. And then Draymond reacted, which I'm not going to lie. I don't blame Draymond for the way that he reacted. I don't blame him. Now, you're in jeopardy of having to sit out just because of the way the NBA is going to view it. They ended up viewing it. They end up, suspending him. Now put your team in a situation where the last time that they played without Draymond Green, they lost. They lost a game to the Denver Nuggets, no less. That's the crazy part. They won without Steph. They won without Clay. They lost without Draymond. Now Draymond comes back. And it's interesting that Pat already painted the picture that just last year, Golden State was celebrating in a Cleveland Cavalier locker room in that Q Arena. I feel that Deja Vu can be there. But I told Tommy last night, I think this also goes seven because it would be nothing like LeBron sitting there watching them pop champagne in his building again. Again, while they are at four straight. Now, here goes an entirely different situation that I look at it. And this is the supporting cast out of Cleveland. And I'm not going to go into Kyrie and LeBron just yet because I have segments and I wanted to address that a certain way. But the supporting cast for the Cleveland Cavaliers. I basically feel real honored and feel real good to say Tristan Thompson has been doing his thing. Tristan Thompson has earned his $90 million contract. I'd say that he got all the 90 this year, but he's earning his keep. But everybody else, Kevin Love just signed a deal for $110+ million. You had 2.3 rebounds in the game. 2.3 rebounds in the game, you look lost. Why can't you knock down the shot when they need you most? Shumpert, the guy with the defensive prowess, yeah, he came in there with a couple of, I guess, stops, a dunk here. You know, they need more from you. They are going to need more from you. And J.R. Smith, I don't know what happened to J.R. Smith. It's like the NBA Monstars from Space Jam come and steal his talent, and then he's out of it for some odd reason. And then the next game he's back, you know, like the basketball came to him and his soul jumped back in his body. I don't know. But his inconsistency, it just bothers me. The supporting cast is a must.
Why
it's funny you bring that up because there is a new Space Jam coming out. LeBron and his boys are starring in it.
Tyrone, why? How long has J.R. Smith? How long has J.R. Smith been in the league?
I want to say around 2006, 2007, maybe. I could be wrong. I have the Wikipedia. I think that's around the time he may have came to the league.
Okay, so he's been in the league what? Seven, eight. He's been in the league 8 years.
He might have been nine. I'm actually Wikipedia his information right now to.
Okay, so how many times have I said on this show, basketball is the one sport where you can tell who works on their game in the off season. I said that multiple times on this show. When you got a guy that's been in the league 6, 7, 8, 9 years.
Listen, hold on, watch this. He's been in the league for 12 years, since 2004.
There you have it. So why does it surprise you that he's inconsistent when he's always been inconsistent? I mean, what is it you're expecting to change? This brother don't work on his game in the offseason. That's the beauty of the NBA. You can see the players the next season who worked on their game. It's obvious. Michael Jordan, what did he do? The first thing he did was he worked on his jump shot. And he got that more consistent. As he started getting older, because he was doing all that high flying and all that dunking, what did he work on next? He worked on his fadeaway jump shot so that he wouldn't be killing himself out there trying to jump over everybody 82 games a year. That's too much work. What has changed, and I say this about Dwight Howard all the time, what's the difference between Dwight Howard's game from the first day he walked into the league to today? Nothing.
He got bigger.
What's the difference?
That's it. He just got bigger high school to now.
What's the difference in JR's game from the day he came into the league to today? Nothing.
Well, when he came, no. When JR came into the league, he was one of those slasher, and he, of course, he's not going to lose that high flyerness. Of course, he's going to remain a dunker. But that's what he was. He was one of those guys that stayed around the rim, the reverse dunk, things of that nature. He wasn't one of those, you know, throw up the jump shot and let it go until he got to Denver. Then once he got to Denver, I think he started to believe a little bit in his shot. Then he got to New York, and he gained a little more confidence, but the inconsistency still remained. It still remained. Even till now with LeBron and Cleveland, there's no consistency.
Like I said before, two-man squad. And people keep trying to dig up the earth, trying to find some gold where there is none. It's a two-man team, period. And as far as Tristan Thompson is concerned, they paid $90 million for that. Because really, his only job is to rebound. Right. That's his only job. He's not expected to score, is to rebound and defend. That's his only responsibility. He's not, and if you get points out of him, hell, that's a plus.
That's a plus, yeah.
That's a plus. But if he doesn't score anything at all, you're not looking at that. Now, if he ain't got no rebounds, now you got a problem. Because you just wasted money on him. Kevin Love, people keep trying to make Kevin Love something he's not. He keeps proving to you people the type of player he is. Stop trying to put a cape on Kevin Love. That's not his game. People keep trying, man, and I hate to see him get bashed the way he is, because the shit is not his fault. People him to be this player that he never was. He was on a bad team, and he was all they had. So getting 20, 25, and 10 rebounds a night, you let him do that. That's not going to be no difference in the game. And I'm not saying he's a bad player. He's just not the player people keep thinking. And he's the one that he catches all the heat. All of it. And it's unfair. It's unfair to him. He's not that guy. That's like when what's his name? Who's the kid they call Baby Jordan? He played Harold Miner. Remember Harold Miner?
Yeah, of course I do.
And he stuck him with that name, Baby Jordan. Now, how close did he come to living up to Baby Jordan? I don't know.
Stop.
Not even close. You know I'm telling the truth. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing. People just keep bagging on this Kevin Love dude, man. What you see him do, that's his game. And when he's playing against athletic forwards who can guard one-on-one on the perimeter, he has problems. He's not a put the ball on the floor kind of guy and work his way to the hoop from 20, 25 feet. I just wish people would stop that with him. He's not going to be that guy. Now, how long has he been in the league?
At least five, 6 years? If I'm not mistaken.
Okay, so he's been in the league.
2008.
So he's been in the league 8 years. Mm-hmm. His game ain't going to change. His game ain't going to change. So whoever is, you know, if you're going to analyze it, you're going to have to analyze it from the perspective of Kyrie and LeBron, because this is what they're going to have to do from here on out. Now, naturally, Cleveland's going to play better. Their role players are going to play better because they're at home. And now they're feeling really confident because now they think they really have a shot. So yeah, it changes the whole landscape.
This is what bothers me on quote unquote what Shaquille O'Neal calls the in which I'm going to look at it to a certain standpoint with Kevin Love. Let me go to Kevin Love first, and I'll go across the board. In 33 minutes of play, well more than half of the game, he had 2 points and three rebounds. Let me try that again. He had 2 points and three rebounds. And crazy enough, this is the guy that I sat right here in this kitchen and battled with every last one of them, from Chandler to Pat to a lot of people that came here. I was giving him superstar praise when he was coming out of Minnesota, because he was the one that broke Moses Malone's double-double record. He was getting 25 and 12, but that's what was called on him, the dude out there in Minnesota. Now, it bothers me because he's a natural rebounder. A natural rebounder. You can only get three rebounds in this game. You can only score the ball one time. He was 0 for 3 from the three-point line, and he was 1 for 2 from the underneath the perimeter in 33 minutes of play. And you have a $110-plus million contract. Then, and I'm saying to the others, Tristan Thompson, I lied. I'm sorry. He had a low scoring total. He had 6 points. Four of which came from the free throw line. He at least knocked down some of the free throws. The double-digit number that I was looking at was his rebounds. He had 15 rebounds, and that's what Pat was hitting on. That's what he's there to do, is to get rebounds. J.R. Smith had the other big night, which I can't even really claim as a big night. He had 10 points and minimal effort everywhere else. One assist, two rebounds. But, I mean, it works. Richard Jefferson is slowly making his name relevant piece of this puzzle, as he had an 8-point night. And then the other 4 points came from Shepherd, which I think were the two dunks that he got. Other than that, I'm not buying him being a shooting guard outside on the perimeter. He doesn't believe in his shot, but he also had two blocks as well, which I think is pivotal. Other than that, we all know where the remainder of that scoring total came from. It came from the other two, LeBron and Kyrie. They are going to have to get more effort from everybody else in this game six. I'm sorry, I do agree with what Pat said. This can't be a two-man show going up against a team that at least have 7 to 8 players that are impact scorers, volume scorers, that take pressure off of one another. I clearly look at that like that. But like I said, for the others, outside of the notable superstars in LeBron and Kyrie, you got Tristan and Kevin Love. These two combined, their contracts equal $200 million combined. 90 and 110 plus, they amassed 8 points together. 8 points together. They didn't even do that scoring output of J.R. Smith. They are going to need more. They're going to need more.
Can we agree, now, Kevin Love, can we agree that Love's gone after this year?
If he even tried to give LeBron a high five,
and LeBron dumped his throat about down on the defensive end. He just shakes his hand, threw his hand at him like, whatever, turned around. I'm sorry.
I feel like if they lose Tommy, he's gone. If they win, there's no way they could get rid of him. I don't think so. He's part of the quote-unquote championship pedigree, which I doubt that I'm saying that correctly, but he becomes a part of the championship pedigree. And especially he's young, too. He's young. So I think if they are able to hang on and win these next two games, they hang on to Kevin Love. But if they lose, especially in game six, we will hear the rumblings as soon as possible.
What's up, Mike?
As soon as possible. What'd you say, Pat?
No, I was saying that he should if I was him, man, I'd request the trade when this is all over with. There's no way I would stay there. No way. No way. Restructure my contract in some form or fashion and just see if I could go to another team. He doesn't fit in, and people are talking about what he did last night. Hell, LeBron and the other guy, they didn't even pass the ball. the whole night. So what was he supposed to do? What? LeBron didn't have an assist in the first half, correct?
Right. Right. That's
LeBron
correct. That is correct.
He ended the game. He ended the game with how many assists? I think he had one.
No, he finished
right?
the game with seven. LeBron finished the game with seven. That's LeBron's stat night was incredible.
But
His stat night was incredible.
But how many? But how many of those assists were to Kyrie? Of the seven.
None. It had to been. He only had one shot. Damn it! Which even if that one shot was okay,
saying?
I'm saying.
So even though he had seven assists, I can guarantee you six of those assists were to Kyrie. So
All
they were doing was playing two man ball. So what is Kevin Love supposed to do? And everybody's jumping on the dude yet again. Well, he only had 2 points and three rebounds. How was he supposed to get a shot? Other than off of a rebound and a putback. But when you got LeBron hot and you got Kyrie hot, what? All of a sudden, you going to start jacking up shots? Because you better not miss more than one or two. Then you're going to have everybody looking at you crazy. Correct?
Correct.
Correct.
You got a point.
Didn't OKC go through that with Durant and Westbrook? That very same thing. Westbrook goes unconscious, gets to jacking up shots, and then everybody looks at the stat line and it's like, well, why does Westbrook have more shots than Kevin Durant? They made that a big to-do, ha-ha, about a couple of years ago. And then finally, those two have pretty much worked that out. You think Kevin Love is just going to come in there and try to short-circuit that when both of those cats are on fire and be like, oh, to hell with it. As soon as I get the ball, I'm going to put mine up. Nah, that wouldn't have worked. That wouldn't have worked.
You do know that there are players with that mentality. There are players, especially within the NBA. As soon as if they're not getting the ball, they touch it. They know that this is the last time they're gonna see it. They hit a shot, they might see it again because they want to feed the frenzy. But this is what I look at.
Right.
Outside of LeBron, Kyrie, and Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love is number four in minutes played last night. Tristan Thompson had 42 minutes played last night. This is the same thing that I said previously. Do not take Tristan off the floor. They barely did. He had 6 minutes of rest. His importance to the game was just as much as LeBron and Kyrie's.
Well, he's
just as much. Right. Why is
Kevin
not
Love
getting
can at least go out and try to get some rebounds? But he stands here and looks at the ball.
Three rebounds, one block, one assist. Outside of him scoring, outside of him seeing the ball, outside of them rotating the ball to him. Go ahead, Pat.
I said is y'all keep beating this dead horse. Y'all trying to get blood out of a turnip, and it's not gonna happen. So either you're just gonna leave Kevin alone, or you're just gonna bash him to smithereens.
I'm not putting it all on him. I'm saying the others, all of them. Everybody else on the team is going to have to step up. There ain't no etched in stone guarantee that they go into Cleveland and not Golden State off, regardless of all of the politics that we are talking about here, including you, Pat, including you. We all talking about the politics, but there's no guarantee. Golden State can come out smoking. As a matter of fact, the way that Golden State was shooting the ball yesterday, they almost broke their record that they set the other night. They had 14 three-pointers hit. 14. The record is 17 that they hit the other night.
Yeah, that was mostly Clay. I understand what you're saying, but I can't see the role players playing any worse than they played last night. I can't see that. Because they were virtually non-existent, other than the fact that we saw them on the floor. If you just look at the stat line, it's almost like nobody else played besides the three players you mentioned. Tristan Thompson, Kyrie Irving, and LeBron.
Right.
That's your whole stat line for the game.
Now, let's look at the other side of the ball, because I know I want to get into these players. I don't know where we go. First and foremost, I want to see how you guys feel about the impact that this Golden State team may feel without Andrew Bogut, because that looked like a hyper extension the way that he came down on that left leg early in the game. He only had 8 minutes played. He actually had four personal fouls as well. Steph had been having their troubles with fouls. But this one could be severe, especially if they do ask Bogut to sit out the next game. Who do they go with? Do they go with Spates or do they go with Varejao? Because this actually is an interesting – or Ezeli. I think they might end up going with Ezeli because he has done his fair share of work with this team. But Bogut going down, before I get to the other guys that are involved with this Golden State Warrior team. Tommy, your thoughts on the injury that the big guy suffered.
I mean, what I've seen so far is it's undecided that he will be traveling to Cleveland, but his game, him being able to play, is up in the air until tomorrow. I guess what they play Thursday night. So, I mean, it could hurt him in a way, the rebounding, but with them getting Draymond back, and I mean, I guess the dude that played last night, the other dude that played at North Carolina,
Harrison
McAdoo.
Barnes.
McAdoo. I mean, they got him. I mean, he could do some, but McAdoo looked lost last night. At least by what I saw of it, I mean, he just looked lost at times. In everything. In Virgil, I don't even know what the hell. I mean, he's part of why I can't stand the NBA nowadays. All this acting and flopping and everything else. Ah, jeez, don't even get me started with that. Him falling around with the little white dude for Cleveland. I can never remember his name.
Dellavedova.
Yeah, yep. Dellavedova. You're not telling me Dellavedova is going to knock his ass on the ground.
This is what the NBA's come to, is selling this to referees. And this is where people get mad at me, because I partially blame LeBron James in that little era when he was with the Heat, and you couldn't touch LeBron. And LeBron is big as a house. Like, you got to be able to do something to slow him down. You know what I mean? So I don't know how much I could get away with trying to throw shade at guys like Dellavedova or a guy like Varejao, because at the end of the day, if the referee's going to blow the whistle, you can't blame them. You can't blame them if they're getting the calls, and I guess in a rightful manner, if I look at it to that extent.
Yeah, but it's like what Van Gundy said during the game. You're telling me these NBA officials don't watch this and know, okay, he could do this, so you're not going to fool me.
Okay, Pat, your thoughts on at least Bogut's injury. And like Tommy said, Bogut is expected to travel to Ohio.
Well, I mean, injuries, you deal with that. That's part of the game. So just expect Ezeli and Spates and Varejao to play more than they normally do. I mean, Bogut is good at basically his thing is shot blocking. So I think when he went out, he had three blocks. The guy gets at least three, four blocks every game, it seems like. So, you know, that might be hard to replace. But as long as they can get the other guys to be active around the rim and defensively in terms of blocking shots, I don't think it will factor that much. Because Bogut is not called on to do any scoring. He is a good passer, but mainly he's there as a rim protector and to block shots. So if they can, out of three guys, if they can manufacture two, three blocks, they're still right there where they would be if Bogut was playing. Because basically, the most crucial, I mean, Bogut plays what? He starts the game into the first quarter. He starts the third quarter. But hell, by the middle of the fourth quarter on, Bogut's never in the game anyway. So, you know, and that's when Azealy and Spates are usually playing. Bogut's usually done by the fourth quarter. Because either he's in foul trouble or they don't need him. Because they go to that death lineup, that small ball stuff. Well, they call it small ball. It's not really small ball when the smallest guy is 6'3" and everybody else is 6'7" on up. I don't know how that got called small ball. That's such a misnomer to me. They're going to a small lineup. The smallest cat on the floor is 6'3". Whatever.
I mean, majority of the guys that they do have playing are guards, though. It depends how you look at it.
The majority of the guys that they have, Tyrone, are between 6'7" on up. That's from Klay Thompson, Barnes, Iguodala, Green. Okay, and then when you bring in, and that's just five. The other guys that they bring in are usually over 6'7", 6'8". When they bring in Spates, when they bring in Azealy, I think McAdoo is what? He's got to be, he's about 6'8", 6'9".
Yeah.
That ain't small. When is that small?
Yeah, but McAdoo just started getting time, like this series. He wasn't playing all season long.
I understand that. I understand.
Right.
I'm just saying that whole small ball that they always referring to, I really think that's a misnomer in my opinion. Because when Curry comes out the game, their smallest player on the floor is 6'7". I ain't even mention Livingston. He's 6'8", and he's at the guard. And that's small ball? I guess that's just how the game has changed.
Right, but again, like I said, all of them have guard capabilities. Let's be honest.
Right.
Harrison Barnes played a shooting guard in college. You got Klay as a shooting guard. That's at least two. Then you got Steph. And then you think about it, Draymond could either play the three or the four. Draymond stretches your floor. Then you have a significant big, or if they don't go big, they have Iguodala played the two guard next to Allen Iverson while he was in Philadelphia. All of them have guard capability. So it can be done and looked at like that if they're going to get out there and run. But the one thing that I'm looking at now that a lot of people question after game one ended was when Tyronn Lue said he wants to pick up the pace and keep running. That running situation is starting to get to a guy with the number 30 on his chest and back, because I've seen him winded. This run right here has been interesting, to say the least, for a guy like Steph. But not to say like Steph can't get his mechanics back and knock down shots. Not to say that 8-for-21 is a bad night. I mean, it's a bad night for him, but he went 8-for-21. He finished with 25. He ended up with 5 threes made. I mean, how do we look at Steph Curry
and he's still shooting 43% for the series?
Oh, I'm not taking anything away from his percentage.
So,
but they're making him work now. They are making him work.
But when he has a bad night, that's completely different from everybody else's bad night.
I mean, that's kind of like a quarterback. That's kind of like a quarterback that loses, though. Think about it, Pat. If a quarterback loses, they're going to ask him all types of questions on why he didn't get the job done, right or wrong.
Well, when a football team loses?
Right. They go after the quarterback first, yes or no?
Well, it depends on how many mistakes the quarterback makes. If the quarterback.
That depends, because that depends on what the defense does. They could play defense.
If the quarterback goes 21 of 24 for 350 yards and four touchdowns with no interceptions, how are you going to ask the quarterback what happened?
Well, in normal cases, do you know what I meant? In normal cases, Jesus. If the defense is getting pummeled, then there's nothing that we can look at other than the defensive situation. But we all know that Golden State is not a great defensive team. They do it in bunches, just like the slogan is strength is in numbers. They play great team defense. But you also have a situation where Steph Curry had four turnovers and amassed his four assists. His turnover to assist ratio was right on par, one for one. So he didn't really have that point guard output. It was more or less him trying to get.
I never expect a player to just play out of their minds every night. So you live with that with him, because more times than not, that's not going to happen. So you live with that. I mean, do you guys listen to when they throw some of Jordan's playoff stats up in games, in particular games? The dude, he had games where he went 6 for 26, 6 for 28. But at the end of the day, nobody remembers that. They remember the clutch shots. They remember the 6 NBA titles. Okay, and I think that it was, who was it? I think it was Durant. He had a shooting night. I think it was against San Antonio, where the only other player in playoff history that had a worse shooting night was Jordan, by the way. So, I mean, at the end of the day, when all is said and done, nobody's going to remember that. And you got to understand something. You're talking about Curry being winded. Have you ever watched Curry on a basketball court? He's constantly moving. If they're on offense, he's running. If they're on defense, he's running and switching. You got to pay more close attention to him on the court, man. That brother is always in motion. The only time he's not in motion is when the other team is coming down the court to set up their offense, if they're not on a fast break or something. That's the only time you'll see him stationary. Other than that, once the play starts, he's constantly moving. Who wouldn't be winded? That brother puts in a lot of mileage, man.
Mm-hmm. Just imagine, if Bogans is out, this could be your starting lineup. Curry, Thompson, Barnes, Iguodala, Green.
Nah, I think they'll.
Iguodala started at the four spot last night.
That's only because Draymond was not playing. That's the only reason. That is not a normal lineup, and I see them starting either Azili or Spates and going back to Iguodala and Livingston being the first two off the bench. They're going to go back to a normal rotation. They're just going to replace Bogut. Now, I'm not saying what you're saying won't happen. I'm just saying that's what I think is going to happen. There's no point in starting Iguodala. Why would you start him? Draymond is back. What's the point?
They need that. They need that emotional lift with Draymond back. They need that.
Draymond's going to start. So why not bring in Azili to start off the game, or Spates to start off the game? Go back to your normal rotation. Your first substitution is Iguodala and Sean Livingston. And you're right back to your normal substitution. You just got to get some production out of Spates, out of Azili, and out of Verja. You got to get some production out of them. You know, they ain't got to tear the roof off the place. But if they can combine for, say, 15 points and 10 rebounds, you're good. That you don't need a whole lot at that position because they've never had a whole lot anyway. I mean, it'd be different if he was Olajuwon. Now you're talking serious trouble. Okay, you don't replace that like overnight or in a season. But we're not talking about Olajuwon here. We're talking about Bogut.
Okay, Tommy, your thoughts on this before we get to, you know, guys like Klay, Kyrie, and LeBron, because I've been sitting on these guys for far too long. I cannot wait to start speaking on the night that these three have.
About what?
Well, more or less the others. Steph Curry's night, you know, I mean, he didn't have a great night, but it's acceptable. I mean, 25 points is still great. You would still love to have that, but he didn't have the percentage that everybody would like at 50%. You know, he went 8 for 21 from the field, 5 for 14 for 3. He was perfect from the stripe. Thoughts on at least Steph?
Well, he did respectful. I mean, he's not going to come out and shoot out of the gym every game. I mean, he is somewhat human. Somewhat human. It's not. There's really nothing you can say bad, because I mean, you can. I mean, nothing surprises me with him. I mean, he was off, I guess you can say. I mean, for what typically he does, but I mean, he man is human.
Okay, it's no longer I can sit on this. I've been trying. So. I'm going to save the best of the events from last night for last. I'll go to Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson finished the game with a 37-point night in which he tried to go on one of those epic – I'm going to start calling it the Thompson run, where literally he's taking every shot and nothing defenders can do about it. He pulled that off again, but they still ended up falling short. Klay Thompson's night on trying to get this series over with as of last night. Pat, your thoughts on it?
Yeah, he tried, but nobody else could seem to match. Nobody on the team could seem to match what he was doing. I mean, he did everything that he's capable of doing. He's capable of catching fire, getting hot like that. But he didn't have, you know, Curry's shot seemed to fall off in the fourth quarter. He seemed to be good up until that point. But in the fourth, he couldn't get anything. So, you know, like Tommy said, man, these guys are human. So it's not like LeBron and Kyrie go out and have that kind of night every night. And that's just the way it goes. Sometimes you're flush, sometimes you bust.
Okay, Tommy, your thoughts on the Klay Thompson slight massacre that Cleveland was able to, you know, stave off and remain in this series. Did you think that Klay was going to go off again for another quarter? Do you think he could keep it going after he starts to go off? Or your thoughts on Klay Thompson?
Yeah, at first I thought Klay was going to bring him all the way back and win it for him. Remember, I texted you and I said, watch them come back and win this. I said, Thompson's going to do it. And it just got to where it was just too much for him. He just couldn't do it by himself. I mean, LeBron was doing his thing, and Kyrie was just blowing up, too. I mean, it's hard when you got two against one. In a way. I mean, he tried. He did everything he could do.
Okay, and the other side of the spectrum, Pat, I'll come to you. I don't know where you want to go because both of these guys put up 41 last night. LeBron and his determination or Kyrie coming of age? That's how I have the topics laid out. one coming of age, and one trying to be legendary. Your pick, whichever you want.
I can keep it real simple for you. They did what they had to do to keep the series going. Period. Their shots were falling, and fortunate for them that they were. Because if their shots were not falling the way that they did, both of them at the same time, we'd be talking about Golden State and its second consecutive NBA title. So it had to happen that way, and it did.
Okay, Tommy,
Go ahead. I'm done.
No, I didn't mean to cut you off. No, please continue. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I can't go all overboard because it is LeBron, it is Kyrie Irving. That's what they get paid to do. They did their job. This is their job, okay? This is not Kevin Love's job. His job isn't when the going gets tough and everything's hanging in the balance. All right, go out there and see if you can get us 50. That's not Kevin Love's job. That's not Tristan Thomas's job. That's not J.R. Smith's job. That's not the other kid's job. That's nobody on that team's job but Kyrie and LeBron. That is their job, and they did it. So last night, they got their money's worth.
Okay, Tommy, how about you? Your thoughts on the two boys from Ohio, Kyrie or LeBron, it don't matter which – you know, row you want to go in, Kyrie attacking all night after Steph and LeBron playing like there was no game tomorrow or Thursday for that matter.
I mean, I'm not trying to make it short, but Pat pretty much said it all. I mean, they did what we said they've had to do since game, what, one, two? They had to attack them boys. Attack the rim. Now, was that just a game plan because Green went there? Will they do this Thursday night for game six? Or do they go back to taking jump shots? I mean, yes, LeBron was hitting threes, and that's something he normally doesn't do. I mean, he did it once in a while here there in Miami. This series, he hasn't been hitting the threes. He's hit maybe one or two. He hit, what, three, four threes last night? I mean, Kyrie did, what he's supposed to do. Can they back it up and do it in two nights in Cleveland? Or do they leave that Cleveland fan base heartbroken again? Like every other sports team there does.
Okay, so do we get into previewing of what's going to go on Thursday night, or do we go to other topics around the board?
Excuse me.
I got something I want to ask both of you all. It's basketball, but it's something to do with non-championships. It's something that I've seen that was brought up. Who do you all think the best player was that not to win a championship? Not to win a championship. Was it Charles Barkley? Was it, and Ty, this is a rule for you. I'm putting a rule in for you because I know exactly who you're going to say. You cannot say Allen Iverson. Cannot say Allen Iverson.
I know you and your little boy.
No, Allen
Iverson. I got more than Iverson now. I got more than him now.
Is it Karl Malone? I mean, personally, me, I think Charles Barkley.
We're supposed to pick one player.
I mean, you can do more if you want.
Okay.
I mean, Malone's in there. Got to be. Gary Payton won one, right? He was in Miami when Shaq and Wade won it, right?
Right.
Okay, so Payton's gone. I mean, you know what? I'm going to throw Sean Kemp in there when he played in Seattle.
Well, I got one. You guys probably don't even know who he is.
Okay, name him.
Marcus Johnson.
Marcus Johnson out of USC?
UCLA.
So LA, I knew he was an LA guy, my bad. I knew he was LA though, my bad.
Played in Milwaukee with Sidney Moncrief, Junior Bridgman, Bob Lanier, John McLaughlin. Every year if they couldn't get past Philly, or when they did get past Philly, they couldn't get past Boston. Or if they did get past Boston, they couldn't get past Philly. The best they could do was the Eastern Conference Finals. That was Don Nelson's first coaching gig. The other one for me would have to be John Stockton. I would pick him over Karl Malone. And if you gave me time, I could think of more, but go ahead, Tom.
So do you put Charles Barkley in there, Pat?
No.
Wow.
I mean, I could put him in there, but he would be like way down the list. When I think of great players who never won it,
I got it. Well, you just gotta say random names.
Oh, that must have been who Tyrone was gonna say.
Exactly.
He was gonna say Patrick Ewing.
You hear me saying I got it. He just starts saying names.
He should have just started saying names.
An asshole. Yes, for City. I'm cursing. Just to be an asshole. You hear me saying it. Right. Just to say, and was really fighting. I was really up here fighting to, like, figure out somebody that did not get a championship run. And I had it. And here
it's
you go. Just saying names. You already said three names. You said three or four names already. And pull the question out just to pull out one. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so now we got Patrick Ewing. Yeah, he's another one. Patrick Ewing's another one. They got did the Ewing era. Did they even make the finals? I know they made it to the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, they did against Houston in 1994.
They played against Houston and went seven.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure you can think of more than just Patrick Ewing.
Right. There's another whole
He said he won't even let me talk. Do you want to be me for now? Like, 'cause I'll let you finish out. I'll let you do what you need to do. Jeez.
Go ahead, Mr. Powell. I'll be quiet.
He told me not to throw out a Hoyer, so as soon as he started feasting, I was like, okay, let me throw Pat out there. So I was really going to tell you to say your name. That's all I was going to say was say your name. And then that would have been that. But here goes Tommy. He's saying five people. It makes the window that much smaller. Oh,
are you
going to say? I know a player I would have liked. I can think of a great player. He never even made the NBA Finals. And he's a Hall of Famer.
I got a lot of players.
Iceman.
Okay.
George Gervin.
Yeah, George Gervin was one of them. Can I go? You two keep going and then let me know when I can plug in. Just tell me when I could go.
Tyrone, you cannot blame us because you slow on the draw.
I'm trying to be respectful. You listen. This is about letting people.
It's your show. Just throw some names out there.
See, I can't even finish talking. I'll be mid sentence, and people talk while I talk. They say, treat others how you like to be treated, right? And I let these dudes speak. I let them dudes get on their soapbox. I let them do what they need to do. You know what happens when I get ready to talk? They just talk straight over me like I don't have a voice, no nothing. I feel like I'm a ghost. Like it's not supposed to happen. Okay. So I have several players, and I might start to raise some eyebrows, in which two of them I don't think ever made an NBA, or three of them have never made an NBA final. One of them's name is Macy Christopher Weber. His nickname was Chris Weber. That's one of them. Number two, people may feel a certain way about him because I loved his style of play. I loved guards, even though I was a big man myself, but I loved guards. They called him Nick at Night, a.k.a. Nick Van Exel. Van Exel was the one who got it in the book. And another player was Eddie Jones, the guy that started over Kobe Bryant, the guy that had Kobe coming off the bench while Kobe was a rookie. Eddie Jones would have stuck around L.A. for just another year, he'd have been on a championship team. He left the season before to go to Charlotte, and then the Lakers started up their championship runs. Eddie Jones, Nick Van Exel, Chris Webber, better known as Macy Christopher Webber.
I'm surprised you didn't
think somebody
else.
Or are we talking about people that lost in the finals? Are we talking about teams that lost in the finals?
No, just didn't ever want a championship.
You just said players.
Okay,
players that did not win a championship. I'm surprised you didn't say somebody else.
Well, I mean, you took all of them. You're saying them before
no,
I
did.
I'm
didn't.
Telling
and
you, wait.
For you.
You said I couldn't say Iverson. I tried to sneak Patrick in there.
There's
he's talking about Alonzo Mourning.
No, Alonzo Mourning has a championship. I'm sorry. You better recalculate.
With
Miami
who?
Heat. With the Miami
when?
Heat.
No, he doesn't.
2006. 2006.
Oh,
how much both of y'all want to bet?
Yeah, 2006. He
how much did both of y'all want to bet?
No, I remember now. He was on the bench.
You can't
he
talk
a
about a warrior.
He
actually, no, you're wrong. Zoe did have an impact in that series. Yes, he did. That's a lie. Zoe did have an impact. It wasn't Shaq. Shaq was the one that – Shaq was breathing. Shaq was getting 9 minutes a game.
Who's the other Hoya, Tommy?
I completely forgot that Mourning was on that championship team. I swore Mourning didn't have one.
He was a shell of his former self.
Well, of course, because he just had kidney surgery. Was it his kidney? It was his kidney, right? Yeah, I think it was. He had kidney surgery.
I didn't think he was on that team. I completely forgot that he was sitting. He was like sparingly played.
He was coming
right.
in for Shaq when Shaq was getting in foul trouble and couldn't keep up with Dirk and them. When Dirk and them was going crazy, they had to bring Zoe. And Zoe was an impact player in that series. Y'all better go do y'all research, man. Why? Y'all better stop picking on Georgetown. I know that. I know that's going to stop.
I could bring up so many players, and you guys probably wouldn't even know who they are.
If you're spilling into
there's
the
70s, there's so many great players that never won an NBA title. Dave Bing, Bob Love.
Oh, goodness.
For Chicago, Dave Bing played for Detroit. Bob Love played
for
the Bulls.
Who is Dave Bing's son? Who is Dave Bing's son?
I have no idea.
Jalen Rose.
Nah, not Dave Bing. No, not Dave Bing. I've heard Jalen speak of his father on many occasions. It's not Dave Bing.
So who was it then?
You better go check that. Okay, you want me to look it up right now? I'll do that. Not a problem. Bob Love, who played with Jerry Sloan. Jerry Sloan was another one.
Jerry Sloan, too,
great defensive player.
On that Chicago team, yeah. I just feel bad for Jerry Sloan altogether because Jerry Sloan and the Darren Williams situation, he should still be coaching Utah. Now Utah searching for coach after coach to get stuff done.
Jimmy Walker.
Late.
Jimmy Walker was his father. He played for the Detroit Pistons, Jimmy Walker did, but he wasn't Dave Bing. You hear what I said?
I heard Jimmy Walker.
Jimmy Walker. He played for Detroit, the Rockets, and the Kansas City Kings.
Shoot, Jalen.
You guys remember the Kansas City Kings? Huh?
Jalen Rose didn't get a ring either, but no. Shoot, Kansas City. No, I remember the Sacramento Kings up until what, 84 or 85 is when they made the change, correct?
Something like that. Yeah. I can think of another player, Sam Lacy. He was the center for Kansas City. Excellent ball player that never won a title.
I mean, you could do this for days, and I feel a certain way because like Dominique is another one, but I don't really consider Neek great. I just know that he was a great game player. Like he kept you out your seat. But like Neek had that one game against Boston. It was like every other series is like you don't know if Neek is gonna be a hit or miss, you know. And Neek was another player that needed to work on his shooting, you know, because there was no consistency with him either. But I feel like I'm picking on a legend. I apologize, Neek. I apologize.
Shit, Neek was the master of the crash dunk.
No, I know, listen, I'm not picking on his flight ability. I ain't talking about nothing with him leaving Earth. Whenever he wanted to leave Earth, that's a whole other ball game. I ain't picking on him. I'm not picking on him at all. All right. Well, we are at the end of the show. It was a good little fun part right here at the end of the show. And we got Pat here for the full show too, man. That's good, man. And I'm happy that Pat came through here to do his damn thing, because you know what? I really feared that Pat wouldn't come around for a little bit, man. Because back in November, you know, Oakland came, you know. So I'm gonna just leave it there. You know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna do it.
Pat, when Oakland makes the playoffs this coming year, he'll forget all about this. Trust me.
Hell no, I won't. You crazy? Listen, Pat know me already. Pat has talked to me several different occasions where we talk well into the night where one of us got to pick and choose who's going to go, okay? Believe that. Pat, am I lying?
No.
Okay, see? See, this is easy as that. I talk to all of y'all like this. Don't just think this is just made for the kitchen. I get dishes outside of the kitchen. I get late night snacks with these dudes, okay? But he know. When the Raiders came up, nah, man. Yeah. I got to. I don't care. That's my big brother. I get to mess with him because he talked junk to me. I got to get him back. I don't care. I don't care if y'all feel some type of way. Anyway, I need plugs, closeout, shout-outs, anything that you two would like to promote before we shuzzle in here at the cookout on this grill. Excellent stuff. PC, I'll start with you first. Go on and rep the bag.
Y'all just enjoy it while it lasts, because sports is going to be dry for a minute. So I guess they're going to string it out as long as they can. And after that, we can get ready for football season. I guess the Olympics and, well, whoever shows up for the Olympics.
I know that.
And football season.
He not lying, man.
So,
why would they choose?
Y'all have
a
good one.
Place like
and, what'd you say?
I was saying, why would they choose a place like Rio and now they're having all these issues? That's what bothers me about the damn Olympics, man.
Tyrone, they do it years in advance.
No, I know. I'm saying, like, they did it for you. But Rio's always, well, not even just the point at Rio like that, but Brazil's always had their issues. You know what I mean? And so, and they got to host all those countries. Like, man, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Well, they just hosted the World Cup, so it made sense logically.
True. Okay, Tommy, plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we shut it down. And I wanted to talk about BMC. Okay, let me get this one out there, and plus Pat's a Raider, so I got to get this out there because BMC is a former Raider. Darren McFadden, broke his elbow fumbling trying to hold on to his cell phone. So I don't know exactly what he was going after or broke his elbow up against, but he just had surgery to repair his elbow. And it's like he already had foot and toe injuries while he was out there in Oakland. He had a full season last year with Dallas, and now he's injured. It's like, can he stay healthy for a full season, like, at one point? But I think he still has the potential to still be around at the start of the season for Dallas. But Dallas already has a house full of running backs right now. Anyway, just had to get that out there. I wanted to bring that up, but we carried a good show today. Sorry, Tommy. But, Tommy, plug, close off, shout out. Anything that you like to promote, we shut it down here at the cookout.
Yeah, good show. Thanks for coming in, Pat. Even though Todd texted me and said, don't worry, Pat won't be in. Sports won't be dry for me. At least, I mean, as long as the Nationals keep winning, I'll be happy. 12 Saturdays until them Kings start playing. I can't wait. Mark Rick season starts. I can't wait. Can't wait. Good show. Hope to hear from everybody on Thursday.
See, and I suppose, do you want to know what I love, especially about people like this, man? They like to point the finger at me and make me look bad, right? Should I do a Sports City? Like should I really, like do this to them? You know, because they like to try to make me look bad. You know what I'm saying? They try so bad. I won't even do that to Tommy. You know, I'm a good guy. I like LeBron said about Klay Thompson, I'm going to take the high road. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to take the high road. It's so hard to be the good guy. You know what I'm saying? See, LeBron was born in December. LeBron was born in December. I'm born in December. So I feel you, Bron. I feel you, bro. For real, man. I'm gonna take the high road. So they talk about. Yeah, I said Pat probably won't call. Yeah, I said that. But I can really talk about what Tommy said, and it feels like LeBron
didn't
play Thompson.
I didn't say anything.
You
I said.
Oh,
you
didn't say anything. Sports City. That's a liar.
Hold on.
Sports City. He's lying on air. I don't even like this. I don't even like how he's lying to y'all. I would get all into the doggone messages. I would. But, Pat, I won't do that. I want you feeling the way about Tommy. I want you to have that thought in your mind that Tommy is such a good guy. Just such a good guy. Because he just literally threw me under the bus. No problem. I said Pat probably won't call in because everything that's been going on out there in Oakland. Because I've seen this before in Oakland when Oakland came to Detroit and SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. We will be right back in his kitchen. Yeah, you know, the Cause of the Cafe will be back. But see, this is the thing about the Cause of the Cafe, people. I might do it early because the game is Thursday. So y'all stay tuned for that. Also, we got to try and work out this baseball buffet because I want to start kicking this off as the summer starts to get hot and it'll be all baseball, at least if we get a good effort out of the Olympics, just like Pat said, I want to at least speak on some of the Olympics, especially if people are breaking records. Michael Phelps, and this potentially being his last run, Usain Bolt, you know, things of that nature. So y'all stay tuned. We got a lot of stuff going on. Stay tuned to all the Twitter pages, Facebook pages, everything that we got going on. We'll be keeping those locked up as much as possible. Y'all stay focused, man. We got a lot of food for thought. Hopefully all y'all can do these dishes. Game 6, Thursday night. I can't believe this. I'm kind of leaning with Pat, thinking that I don't think Cleveland will lose at home, but Golden State has an offense that can put up numbers. They can put up numbers, so that is a worry. That is a worry. On that note, tell a friend that it's the Chefs again, and if they don't know, can't believe Tommy did me like that. I can't. And Dave Bing and Jalen Rose, I apologize. I thought that was the father that was running away from Jalen Rose, so it was Jimmy Walker. I apologize. And if they don't know, now they know.
What about I'd be caught in this life? Let's celebrate with a toast and get lost in tonight and make it all light up. Wait until the sun goes down, we gon' make this bitch light up. Even when the sun goes down, I'ma make it go.
Ow, hoes turning heads like owls. I'm the man of the owl. Triple entendre, don't even ask me how. influence next to a high power. Y'all can miss me with the money talk. The smart money's on hold, fuck what the dummies talk. I don't do too much blogging. I just run the town, I don't do too much jogging.